You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, October 28th, and on today's episode, we look ahead to weekend number two of the Big Ten season. Our man, Connor Two Shows Happer, joins the show to preview what we might see, some of the most intriguing storylines of weekend number two. And because Connor is a radio host in Lincoln, Nebraska, of course, we discuss the Nebraska-Wisconsin matchup for this upcoming Saturday. And as you'll hear Connor and I discuss during our conversation, there are some unknowns surrounding the Wisconsin football program at this moment due to COVID-19. Here is what we know at this time, and this is all due to reports. Nothing has been confirmed officially from the Wisconsin Athletic Department or their football team. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who was the first to report that Graham Mertz had tested positive for COVID-19 on Saturday, he has confirmed a positive COVID-19 diagnosis with a PCR test, and his backup, third stringer Chase Wolf, has also tested positive for COVID-19. First, what this means for Graham Mertz as he looks to return to competition. Due to Big Ten protocols as it pertains to the COVID-19 pandemic, you are not allowed to return to competition until 21 days following your first positive test. Graham Mertz's first positive test came on Saturday. Thus, as you look at Wisconsin's schedule, he could possibly return by Saturday, November 14th, when the Badgers take on Michigan. However, before he can get to there, he needs to be confirmed by a Wisconsin-appointed cardiologist that he is healthy and able to return to practice, as well as produce a certain amount, the amount specifically we do not know, but a certain amount of negative COVID-19 test results. That is the same for the third string quarterback, Chase Wolf. That is the same for any Big Ten player that might find itself in the COVID-19 protocols throughout this season. 21 days before you can return to competition following your first positive test, and you need to be confirmed healthy and screened by a cardiologist to be added to the cardiac registry. So outside of the X's and O's, and we'll talk about Wisconsin's fourth string quarterback, Danny Vandenboom, with Connor Happer in just a moment, there are also reports from the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal that Wisconsin is getting close to the threshold of not being able to play this upcoming Saturday against Nebraska. What it means when we talk about those thresholds that Wisconsin might be too close to on a 7-day rolling average that the Big Ten has laid out in their protocols. We first talk about test positivity rate and population positivity rate. If Wisconsin finds itself in the red of both those categories, there are green, orange, and red for both the test positivity rate and the population positivity rate, Wisconsin would have to shut down operations for 7 days before they can look to resume as a program. But this is all based on a 7-day rolling average. That red category for the test positivity rate would be over 5% for the number of positive tests divided by the total number of tests administered for the entire Wisconsin football program. That includes players, that includes coaches, and that includes support staff. When you look at population positivity rate, the red category is greater than 7.5%, and that is the number of positive individuals divided by the total population at risk. And based on some of the reporting that is out there, Wisconsin is possibly getting close to those red thresholds. Again, Wisconsin Athletics has not confirmed anything as of yet from their own department. However, they are probably getting their ducks in a row and seeing how many positive tests they may have before taking further steps. At this moment, the game against Nebraska is still on and scheduled for this upcoming Saturday. They would need to get to those red thresholds again. Over 5% of test positivity rate and over 7.5% for population positivity rate. We are not there yet, but we will keep you updated as we will throughout the entire Big Ten football season. When you play football during a global pandemic in the year 2020, these are some of the challenges we will have to deal with. 8 games in 8 regular season weeks. This all becomes part of that mixture. And 2 final quick notes on this situation before we get to Connor Happer. If the game between Wisconsin and Nebraska is unable to be played this Saturday, it will go down as a no contest, not a forfeit on either team's parts. Secondly, a shout out here to host of Locked On Badgers, Asher Lowe, who has been on this program numerous times. He did a great job on Tuesday of explaining this situation clear cut and easily able to be understood by everybody. Give him a follow on Twitter at alow_33. and make sure you're listening to the Locked On Badgers podcast to get the latest updates out of Madison as it pertains to this ongoing situation of COVID-19 within the Wisconsin football program. Again, nothing confirmed yet from Wisconsin. They have not yet reached those thresholds of red in the test positivity rate and the population positivity rate. But as of right now, reports indicating that Graham Mertz, their starting quarterback who dazzled on Friday, has confirmed a positive COVID-19 result. His backup, Chase Wolf, also a positive COVID-19 result. And we await further testing within the Wisconsin football program to see how we proceed the rest of this week. But we are getting ready now for weekend number 2 of Big Ten football. Outside of the Wisconsin-Nebraska game, 6 other great matchups on the weekend slate. We break it all down with Connor Two Shows Happer. And now I'm very pleased to be joined once again. He is back on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. It has been far too long, but I am so happy to see your face now. It is Connor Two Shows Happer. He is Two Shows host because, of course, he hosts two shows in Lincoln, Nebraska for 93.7 The Ticket, The Drive every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m., and The Recruiting Hour from 2 to 3 p.m. at 93.7 The Ticket in Lincoln, Nebraska. Connor, it is great to see you. Great to have you back on the Locked On Big Ten podcast.
Ben, thank you for having me, my friend. I'm excited that we have football back, and I'm excited that we get to talk a little Big Ten. It didn't really feel like college football without the Big Ten being going on. So now we actually have it for real.
Yes, we do have it for real. So let's start there. Let's start with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. An impressive performance in the first half against Ohio State, but then the Buckeyes were the Buckeyes, and that was to be understood. What is the vibe like in Lincoln, Nebraska right now after week one?
I think most people, you know, it's a cautious optimism. They lost 52-17, and some people have a hard time kind of just getting over that. But if you watch the game and if you saw kind of how it played out, first of all, I mean, it could have easily been, you know, Nebraska had made a couple self-inflicted mistakes that they think they can clean up, a couple fumbles and a scoop and score by Ohio State. And it was game plan specific to – they wanted to really, really shut down the run in that game. And I think that did a pretty good job at doing that, but Fields didn't miss the entire game. So I think if you pick it apart a little bit, you can come out encouraged. There was some good stuff there. Last year, at the beginning of the year, the big issue for Nebraska was they weren't able to put together any sort of consistent run game, and they didn't have really any weapons to throw the football downfield. They're still looking for the weapons to throw the football downfield, but – the offensive line showed up against a really good front against Ohio State. So I think they'll be able to run the ball this year. Wisconsin's another tough team, but it'll be a more manageable opponent for Nebraska.
Before we look ahead to week number 2 of the Big Ten season, I have to ask you, what did you make of Ryan Day's apology? Do you think it was necessary?
No, not at all. Like people kept asking me about that after the game, and they were like, what did you think about them scoring that last touchdown? I was like, I didn't even consider it. I didn't even think about it. I do not care at all. Scott Frost didn't care. He was asked about it yesterday as well. Especially in this year where, like, you got to make it look as good as you possibly can for fighting for spots in the playoffs. I completely understand that, but I don't even think that was a thought in Ryan Day's mind. He was just like, look, we're on the 6-yard line. We're going to score a touchdown with our young guy, and they did. So I didn't think it was necessary. I don't think it was really anything, and there's certainly no bad blood between the two coaches.
Right. It was an RPO with his backup quarterback. It wasn't like a flea flicker from midfield that went for 45 yards and a touchdown strike. I mean, and I agree with you. It's all about the optics. Ohio State was going to come out and will throughout the entire season to try to look as impressive as they can in the eyes of the committee. And if that means scoring an extra touchdown, as Al Michaels would say, overwhelming, huge for some people who took the over of that game, including myself, because Connor, I went 0-7 against the spread on Big Ten opening weekend. So I needed at least a couple of my bets to hit. 0-7 though, Connor. 0-7.
How is that even possible? You got to get
impressive,
lucky.
Right?
Yeah, it is impressive. You got to get lucky at least one time in there.
Yeah, dang, no, I did
that's
not.
A tough look.
Yeah, I picked some straight up winners, obviously. Like I did pick Ohio State to beat Nebraska outright, but I thought the Huskers would cover because they would do enough offensively. They did through the first half, second half, whatever. Just speaking with Connor right now, I am already excited for this upcoming weekend starting Friday night with PJ Fleck Fridays as the Minnesota Golden Gophers take on Maryland. I'm already looking forward to the weekend. I'm already looking forward to Big Ten football. I am already looking forward to how many Coors Lights I will drink as I enjoy Big Ten football. Because as we get going for this week, I'm looking forward to sitting down and chilling out. And when I do that, when I'm sitting on my couch watching college football, watching Big Ten football, I choose only one beer because there's only one beer out there that is literally made to chill, and that is Coors Light. It is the official beer of watching any sport, any Big Ten team, any sort of college football, to just drink a beer and chill out, and that is Coors Light. And you know it is made to chill because Mountain Cold Refreshment is in Coors Light's DNA. It is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is literally made to chill. The Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado takes the streams from the Rocky Mountains and infuses it right into its beer, so it is made for you to sit, to crack open, and to chill. Coors Light is the one I go to time in and time again when I need to unwind, when I need to sit back and watch some football. I enjoy myself more when I crack open a Coors Light. There's nothing better than that sound of a fresh Coors Light being cracked. I tried to do a cracking sound. It didn't work very well, but there was nothing better than that in real life when I have a frosty Coors Light in its new look can, snap it open, crack it open, sit back, take a sip, and enjoy Big Ten football. And it's so easy to get Coors Light now because I don't even need to leave my apartment. I go to get Coors Light in its new look delivered straight to my door at get.coorslight.com. Again, because it's so easy, I have to tell you one more time. Get.coorslight.com to get Coors Light in its new look delivered directly to your door. As we get ready for weekend two, make sure to celebrate responsibly, make sure to enjoy some Big Ten football, and make sure to do it all with the beer that is made to chill, Coors Light. You know the meme that was going around Twitter for a while over the summer, name a more iconic duo, I'll wait. That's how I feel about Coors Light and Built Bar. And I mean that, especially for my Saturdays this fall, because I know that when I'm enjoying my Coors Light and I know that I have a long day of Big Ten football ahead of me, I need to make sure I get my sustenance. I need to make sure I'm putting the best nutrients in my body that I can, but I need to make sure that I'm enjoying the taste of it. I enjoy my Coors Light, but I enjoy Built Bar just as much because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is literally a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It cannot be beat, and the improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 18 amazing flavors, 6 of them the new flavors, the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, the carrot cake, and my favorite for the autumn time, the apple almond crisp. Oh, just think about apple almond crisp and Big Ten football being played next to each other. Iowa Northwestern with an apple almond crisp Built Bar going down your gullet? Nothing better. Nothing better in the entire world. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, and they are perfect for the person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but good where you need it. High in protein and high in fiber. So make sure to go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So let's look ahead to weekend number 2 of the Big Ten football season. Some of the more intriguing matchups on the slate. And one of those takes place right in Lincoln, Nebraska, as the Huskers have their home opener against Wisconsin. Very uncertain times right now at the quarterback position for those Badgers. Nothing officially confirmed yet from Wisconsin Athletics, but there has been reports from the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal that both Graham Mertz and their backup quarterback, now their third string quarterback, Chase Wolf, have tested positive for COVID-19. Again, nothing confirmed officially from Wisconsin Athletics, but that is where we stand now. And it might be Danny Vandenboom, the fourth string quarterback, starting for Wisconsin this weekend against Nebraska. Connor, as you've been getting ready for this week now, week number 2 for the Huskers, what have you made of what's been playing out in Madison?
Well, yeah, and this is going to be a minute-to-minute thing. I first of all, just hope that it doesn't, you know, there's no, I don't know if that's a sign of spread, if, you know, the third string quarterback has it too, or maybe it's just contained to the quarterback room. If it's just in the quarterback room, I have a hard time believing they'll get into that red, you know, with the team spread and the community spread. So
right,
it sounds like it's okay, but I'm still like crossing my fingers as far as just the game getting played. Once you get past that, I mean, yeah, I think Nebraska is salivating at the opportunity to beat Wisconsin, regardless of if the quarterback was Jack Cohn or Graham Mertz or, you know, a wide receiver. I feel like they have, there's a certain confidence about this team right now. Even I think they'll be able to shrug off the result last week against Ohio State, even though you can pull some positive things from it. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like Nebraska was in a position to really make it a fun game on Saturday. So I'm slightly disappointed if Graham Mertz isn't going to be able to play, because I think that would have been really fun. But obviously, you know, the further you go down the line, the more likely Nebraska is to win the game. And I'm not going to say no to that. You know what I mean? Like, right. Nebraska hasn't beat Wisconsin since October of 2012. They've had some really, really, really bad losses in the meantime there. So I think they'll take it any way possible.
As Scott Frost even alluded to in his press conference on Monday, this is the one they need to win. These guys are in their division. This is what they want to get to. What would a win over Wisconsin, regardless of who's playing quarterback, mean for Nebraska?
Yeah, it would be a huge deal, I think. I don't know if it would be I don't know if it would be received or perceived that well from the rest of the conference and for the rest of the country, but Nebraska hasn't beaten an AP top 25 team in their last 12 tries, I think. So that would be a huge deal. And Wisconsin, the top 10 team coming to town on Saturday. And then just beating Wisconsin, Nebraska, I think, what is it? Oh, of their last six against Wisconsin, and or maybe even more than that now. And over the last five against Iowa, they got to beat these interdivision rivals, the teams that have run the division for the last several years. Obviously, Nebraska has to, you know, take care of the Illinois and the Purdue's and whoever. But really, the division, I think we've talked about this before. I think the division is really, you know, pretty flat. I think there's a lot of good teams in this division now, and it wasn't that way 5 years ago, and especially since Wisconsin's been kind of in charge in the Big Ten West. So it would be a huge deal for Nebraska to kind of just signify that they're a part of that mix now in the Big Ten West, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah, this West could be very, very wild this season, especially if Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf are confirmed COVID-19 positive and they have to sit out 21 days following that positive result. That would really open things up. And then you saw Northwestern last week look like they're coming back, although they played a terrible Maryland team. You had Iowa falling off, Minnesota also losing. It's really wide open at it stands right now for the taking in the West Division in the Big Ten. And Nebraska, who looked impressive at the start against Ohio State, if they can win against their divisional foes, that could be huge in terms of taking that next step in the Big Ten West for them. So a couple things to ask you about where Nebraska stands at the moment. I think one thing that is significant that will be a factor in the game against the Badgers, two targeting penalties against Ohio State last week, Cam Taylor-Britt and Deontay Williams, some of the leaders in that secondary, won't be available for the first half against the Badgers. How crucial is that as Nebraska tries to hone in on what could be an undermanned Wisconsin offense?
It's a big deal. Now you have to factor in the Wisconsin, like, are they going to be throwing it through the air a whole bunch with the four string quarterback? I don't know. True. It could be a quick game in Lincoln on Saturday if that's the case. But yeah, I mean, that's significant. Nebraska was already relatively thin in the secondary. I know they feel good about the guys that are going to end up replacing them, but they're either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen that are going to come in and play one of those corner spots and one of those safety spots. So it's a pretty big deal. They lost a couple defensive backs to transfer before the year even started that were going to come in the 2020 class. So they are thin back there. I think they should be able to get by though. And those two in particular, Cam Taylor-Britt and Deontay Williams are two of the biggest parts of this defense. I mean, Deontay Williams lost his season last year in the first game of the year, the South Alabama game, and coaches talked about it all offseason how they felt like that was a pretty big blow to them. He didn't have a great showing against Ohio State, but how much of that is Ohio State? And then Cam Taylor-Britt has been, you know, a stalwart for them in their defense for the last couple of years. So and he's one of the guys that they really enjoy. He's a leader. He's a football guy. One of those type of guys. So it's a big deal just as far as a leadership component and then the drop off to the next one. But I don't know. I don't know how much it's going to mean on Saturday. I guess we'll just kind of see. But I think they can weather the storm as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, if Wisconsin is going with their fourth string quarterback, who we'll talk about in just a moment here, because I have some fun facts for you that I think you should disperse to your listeners in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, I need to hear these.
Wisconsin is going to focus on the ground game. They do it all the time anyway, but with how impressive Graham Mertz looked in their opener against Illinois, the ground game wasn't exactly up to snuff, or at least to the Wisconsin level we're used to seeing. That's going to be a huge focus, especially if they go with the fourth string quarterback. But I just want to make one note about both Deonte Williams and Cam Taylor-Britt. You can argue the validity of the targeting call and the rule in general in college football, but I'd love to see the energy and the physicality, especially Deonte on that hit, because I thought that was a clean hit too. That is the physicality Nebraska needs defensively this year when it was lacking last year in 2019. So let's get now to that fourth string quarterback for Wisconsin. Danny Vandenboom, his father, Matt Vandenboom, an All-American in the early 80s for the Wisconsin Badgers as a DB, was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. But here's the real key, Connor, for what you should spread to your Lincoln listeners. His cousin, Paul Verlander, played basketball at the University of Nebraska from 2004 to 2009. Do you recognize the name Paul Verlander?
Paul Verlander?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely Verlander. Damn it, that's just me being too used to baseball. Let me see. Yes. Yeah, no, okay, they listed as Verlander on Wisconsin's website in his bio. Yeah, Verlander. Are we looking this up right now? Yeah, we are. You can hear the typing kind of that Connor Happer is doing. It seems that he has found something on Google. Here is the play-by-play of Connor Happer's search. What do we find?
I knew it's Paul Verlander, but there's no way people have made that mistake before. Like that, we'll have to check on that. I don't know. I might send an email out to the Wisconsin folks today and see if that's a real.
Yeah, I'm sure they got nothing else going on right now.
Honestly, if his dad is Paul Verlander's cousin.
No, his cousin, I believe, Danny Vandenboom, the fourth string quarterback for Wisconsin. I think his cousin is Paul. Yeah, his cousin.
Unbelievable. Okay. Yeah. That's a really big deal. I will certainly spread that to the listeners if that's the case.
What do you remember about Paul and his basketball abilities?
Well, Paul Verlander was, he was around in the late aughts, but right. just a 3-point sniper. Like he's top 10 Nebraska all time in 3-pointers. Like,
oh, okay, wow.
Look at his page right now. Top 10 in 3-pointers made and 3-point percentage. Yeah, he was 2009 Big 12 all bench team.
Let's go, Paul.
I have no idea what that means or why it exists, but I love it. Wow, this is fantastic. No, people around here know Paul Verlander.
Okay, cool. All right. Verlander. Yeah, we're sticking with Verlander. Verlander, so, is it? Well, that's his name.
It said on the Wisconsin website that it was former Nebraska basketball player Paul Verlander.
Yeah, and the timing of the late aughts, you're right on. It says here, cousin Paul Verlander, as in Justin Verlander, the ace pitcher for the Astros. But it says, Paul Verlander played basketball at Nebraska 2004 to 09. It's definitely Verlander, and Wisconsin's athletic department has made a mistake in Danny Vandenboom's bio. I didn't think they expected people to be researching who Danny Vandenboom was this early on as the fourth string quarterback in the Big Ten season.
That is incredible. That's fantastic. And yes, people are going to gobble that up. That needs to be tweeted out or something.
Storylines across the board for Nebraska and Wisconsin in week two of the Big Ten football season. Our final thoughts across the Big Ten Conference for weekend number two with Connor 2 shows Happer. That's all coming up next. So let's take a look at some of the other games on this weekend slate as we peruse what could be impactful for the second weekend of the Big Ten season. Any games that catch your eye, Connor 2 shows Happer?
Yeah. There's Ohio State, Penn State, which is of course lost a little bit of juice now from Penn State's opening weekend loss. I don't know Penn State's looking down the barrel of 0-2 now. And I don't just the same way a few years ago, they had that win against Ohio State and it kind of just propelled them, and they've had a couple major opt-outs this season. And they go 0-2 and then, they have Nebraska coming up in week four. I don't know who their week three game is. Like that's a tough start for Penn State. So I'm watching them. Iowa Northwestern is a big game for the West.
Right.
I mean, Iowa needs to rebound from their loss to Purdue. Northwestern looked fantastic in week one against Maryland. Like most of these games fall into the category of, and I guess this is just week two in general. These are just week two thoughts, but like what we're trying to find out for each of these teams what was real in week one because of their opponent and how that's actually going to carry on throughout the year. Nebraska is a great example of that. They play Ohio State. Northwestern's on the other side. They played Maryland. Like, how much credit are we giving Northwestern for scoring 43 points against Maryland? Wisconsin against Illinois, same type of thing. Maybe even Minnesota against Michigan, who looked really good. Rutgers. What do we do with that? What do we do with that result from week one? So there's just a lot of weird things going into week two. And this is great, man. It's like a fire hose. I just hope we can get all the games in.
Yeah, me too. I really hope we can get all the games in. And I think that's one of the important points about Nebraska-Wisconsin. I don't think we're at the red level yet with the Badgers, and you're hoping there was no outbreak across the entire program. And we haven't really seen that, at least across college football for the most part, as they've been limiting this. And, you know, Wisconsin has been following the Big Ten protocols, but I hope we can play a full weekend slate for this upcoming Friday and Saturday. Get started Friday with Minnesota and Maryland. If there was ever a bounce back opponent needed for the Gophers, it's going to be those Terrapins from College Park, because, oh, I think they're in for a very tough run in 2020.
Minnesota, by the way, is like the Friday night team. They play like Friday games.
Friday night Fleck. I think they have three on the schedule already.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, PJ Fleck was born for Friday nights. He's going to come out there just looking absolutely enthusiastic and energetic, although I'm not so sure he's happy about playing that many Fridays. Another thing that I want to mention, too, of course, we have the week two highlight of Ohio State and Penn State, what would normally be the whiteout game in Happy Valley. We will talk about that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Big Ten. I'm going to have, just so you know, two shows. I'm going to have two guests previewing it from both sides, Ohio State and Penn State. It's a two for Thursday we do here. But I agree with you in the Northwestern and Iowa game being very intriguing, because Iowa, after the loss to Purdue, needs to bounce back. One thing that I think Hawkeye fans know, you need to get the ball to Amir Smith-Marset. He had zero receptions in that game against the Boilermakers. Spencer Petras at times did not look great, but at other times he didn't look too bad. He maybe missed on some throws that could have been converted for scores, but he needs to get the ball to one of his best playmakers, one of the best playmakers in all of the conference, in my opinion, in Amir Smith-Marset. And on the other side, Northwestern, who ran the ball for 325 yards against Maryland. Can they continue that against a much better opponent in the Hawkeyes of Iowa? I don't think so, but I think this game will teach us a lot about where these teams will be. It might not be so bad in Iowa City, and it might not be so great in Northwestern, but that's kind of how the West is going to be played throughout this entire season. I think that Iowa-Northwestern game and even Nebraska-Wisconsin will be representative of the Wild West in 2020.
Do you think it's, what is it, probably about a 95-point-whatever-percent chance that this game is within a score?
Oh, I mean, for sure. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, maybe even more than that. Maybe we could just lock it in, just take it to the bank. This game is definitely going to be less than a touchdown either way.
I completely agree. This game at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN on Saturday. Right now, the opening line, Iowa -2.5. I would agree with that. I think that is a very solid number for the Hawkeyes home opener. If this game is 27-24, I would not be shocked. If it's like 37-21, I will be shocked. I think it will be around a field goal, no more than a touchdown between these two teams. And then another game you touched on in the East, Indiana visiting Rutgers. I mean, can Rutgers keep it going? If they're competitive against this IU team that just pulled off its biggest upset in 33 years, what will that teach us about both programs? Are we going to be like, okay, Rutgers might win three or four games this year, and Indiana maybe is not the second best team in the East? What will it show us about those two opponents in your mind?
Yeah, there's so much to find out about these teams, because Indiana obviously gets that huge win and that should kind of propel them, but they didn't play all that well. Like, if you just look at the box score, there's no way that they should have beaten Penn State. They got a couple breaks late in the game and took advantage of them. So good job by them. Michael Penix didn't have his best day. Rutgers, with their win against Michigan State turned the ball over seven times. Like, right. What, you know, so yeah, I mean, this is going to be a big weekend to kind of continue to suss out what's real and what's not real in the conference.
Yeah, that's what week two will do throughout all of college football, but especially here in the Big Ten, as we now get reacclimated to how things go. And for me, for my own mind, after going 0-7, as I mentioned to you, I need a good week two. I need to make sure that I still am the kind of expert that I like to claim in the Big Ten. Week two is very important for me, Connor Happer. Very important for me.
What are you looking at? Like, what's your best bet right now? Like, obviously,
I don't know.
Like Nebraska, Wisconsin, you know, yeah, that probably is not available.
Right.
Although yeah, I saw it floating around 9 for Wisconsin, which I don't know. I mean, I'm a Nebraska homer, but I might look at Nebraska there. But who knows what it'll look like when we get sorted through this whole COVID thing. What else have we got out there? What's looking good?
Yeah, so I think there's only lines for 4 out of the – or 5 out of the 7 games that I'm seeing now. And there's only one that's super enticing to me on first glance because there's some big ones. Like Minnesota's a 19.5-point favorite on the road in Maryland. Could Minnesota come out and win that game and look great but only win by 17? Sure. Michigan's a 24.5-point favorite over Michigan State. I still might take them to cover. I think the one that looks most enticing as I look at it right now, a battle in the Big Ten West, Purdue, a 7-point favorite on the road against Illinois. I thought Purdue looked great last week. If they get Rondale Moore back, they could be even better. And Illinois just looked so freaking bad. I mean, offensively, just so stuttered, couldn't do anything against a good Wisconsin defense. But I'm also very high on Purdue's defense, especially their front four with George Karlaftis, Derek Barnes, and Lorenzo Neal. And if Illinois can't get the air game going and Brandon Peters can't find anybody except Josh Emathor-Bebe, I mean, it's going to be a tough game for them against the Boilermakers.
Yeah, but it's like, do we trust Purdue yet? Are they a team that can go on the road and beat a team by more than a touchdown? Like Illinois took them pretty good last year, if I remember correctly. So
you do remember correctly. I guess what I'm saying here is I'm in a dark space already heading into week 2. I'm not feeling good about anything.
The good news is that you're not going to go 0-7 again. It's just impossible. Like you can't, right? I mean, I don't know. Like we'll see.
Thank you for jinxing it now. Now I feel like if I go 0-14 through the first 2 weekends, I'm going to move to Vegas because that is as impressive as going 14-0. I'm just going to switch everything in my mind.
You guys can just stick with it. You're not going to go 0-7 again. Trust the process. That's my advice.
Thank you very much. And I will trust in that because I trust in you. Again, Connor Two Shows Happer, the host of both The Drive and The Recruiting Hour for 93.7 The Ticket in Lincoln, Nebraska, giving you the insight about Nebraska's upcoming home opener against Wisconsin and an overall look at the Big Ten Weekend 2 slate. Connor, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Ben. Anytime.
So many thanks again to my guy, Connor Two Shows Happer, for coming on today's episode, previewing what will be a great weekend number 2 of Big Ten football. And as we dive in even further, you heard us touch on this today, the marquee matchup, the primetime game, the ABC primetime game of week 2 across all of college football. But here in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Penn State. One of the games, the gems across the entire Big Ten schedule throughout the entirety of the season. It happens Saturday night, and it happens week 2. So the tradition that we are starting here on Locked On Big Ten is the idea that the marquee game of the weekend, we will do a 2-for 4. It will be 2-for Thursdays. Yet again, we did it last week, and now we do it for week 2. We will preview Ohio State and Penn State with both perspectives, both from the Buckeyes and from the Nittany Lions, as we get ready for this monumental game in the Big Ten that might decide the outcome of the Big Ten East. It has lost some luster, obviously, with Penn State falling to Indiana, but still a top 20 ranked matchup, the 3rd ranked Buckeyes, the 18th ranked Nittany Lions on Saturday night in Happy Valley. Tomorrow, we get you set for it both with a 2-for, both the perspective of Penn State and Ohio State. That's all coming up tomorrow on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. But until we get to tomorrow, when we look ahead to Ohio State, Penn State, have a splendid Wednesday.